know, again, I've said before, fully confident in Cole. It's the reps that he needs to create these calluses that you get when you're young and trying to grow in a position, and being out there is how you get that experience.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott. If you watched Hard Knocks last night, want to give us a ring? You can. We got Josh and Dion singing Panic at the Disco along the way.
Yeah.
That's cool. We got Josh and the quarterbacks breaking down their throwing motions with 3D biometric tracking. That was very cool.
Zach Davidson biking through the woods, where I immediately asked, like, where is that? Is that like his?
Yeah.
Or is he going somewhere for that? Because that looked cool.
Davidson punting. New rule. Can we make a rule? Everybody, who doesn't want to sign up for this? Every team in the preseason must have a position player attempt a kick and a punt. We got great stories.
Preseason.
Ray Davis made a kick.
Yeah.
Zach Davidson had a punt, 62 yards.
62 yards. Yeah.
When they showed the highlights of him in college, he went to like the small Missouri school.
Yeah. As a punter.
Yeah. He went to school as a punter. So he got a scholarship as a punter.
Yeah, Central Missouri.
Central Missouri. And they show the highlight of him turning into a tight end. And I just picture that meeting, or however it went. Maybe it's a conversation to have with Zach Davidson sometime. You had to convince them to let you be a tight end. You're a giant human being that runs very fast.
Yeah.
They weren't convinced. No, this kid can kick the ball. He says he wants to play tight end.
Yeah.
He looked like a freak athlete.
Yeah, as a redshirt freshman, looks like he just punted, set a school record, finished second in the nation with 44 yards per punt on 47 punts. He was named second team, whatever conference his team was in.
Can he be the first punter to also be his own gunner? Like, kick it and then go
run down his own kick.
Yeah, just call
That's
plays
those...
where the line, like, opens up. Like, we got to get Zach down there for this hit.
Well, that'd be one of those where, like, you know, a returner sees the punter, like, on. He's like, oh, man, I'm going to light this guy up.
Right.
And in this instance, it's, oh, man, here comes the punter, who is 6'7", 255, heading straight for you. Yeah, it looks like then that second year he started playing tight end a little bit. But even then, he only caught 11 passes. So maybe you should try being an NFL punter.
I mean, listen.
Again, you'll have the advantage of him running down a punt as the last man at 6'7", 250 will terrify returners.
What
I
else,
like it.
What else happened on Hard Knocks? Anything else out there? A little bit of a lot of KJ Hamler and what he's what he's been through. And
his career was really
Allen referred to Hamler
derailed.
As one of his favorite teammates. So is Hamler sticking on the practice squad? Sticking around? He might not get another opportunity.
I'd like to see him. I mean, I like players like that. I mean, he's smaller and super fast. I don't know if he's fast when he entered the league, because it wasn't just the heart condition that he had. He had injured hips and torn ACLs, and he had a ton of stuff. Because he was an early second-round pick, and then didn't do a lot in his rookie year, but, you know, 56 targets. He was at least a part of the offense. And then it was just over. Like, heart condition, injuries, bam, career's over, and he hasn't really played in the league in 5 years. So it'd be cool if he made a difference at some point, but I don't know. If he'll come back.
Just made a request to Josh to look for something we used to have. Because as we're talking about all these, like, you know, guys that made teams, there's a lot of it about the Bills. There's one in Kansas City that's interesting.
That made the team?
Made the team, and it's a callback to, do we have it? We don't have it? Okay. Do you remember, was it the Patriots? It couldn't have been the Hurricane game. It was one of those times the Bills just murdered New England.
Okay.
And did we stop doing this? I think we stopped doing this now that Belichick's gone. Listening to the post-game show?
Maybe.
It used to be fun. You know, the Bills win 38-9. Let's pop a little EEI on.
Like the night when Belichick threw the phone at the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was one post-game caller that ranted and raved and ranted, Tyquan Thornton! Tyquan Thornton! That's your answer, Tyquan Thornton!
Yes. Wait, was it him or was it...
I thought it was Tyquan Thornton.
Who was it? I want to say it was a running back.
Maybe. I thought it was Tyquan
Thornton.
I'll
have to find it.
Tyquan Thornton made the Chiefs.
Oh, okay.
He made the roster.
Right.
So
second round pick?
Yeah. And for what it's worth, like, if you want to do a quick little one team versus the other team, what are the Bills versus what are the Chiefs? The Bills want to be power football. And the Chiefs, who have, you know, succeeded against the Bills, they want to be speed. They want their track team back.
Yeah.
They draft Worthy. The Bills draft Coleman. Like this, you know, we can compare those two, what they are. Coleman's not fast. He's strong, bully. Worthy is small speed. Tyquan Thornton is about what?
Straight line speed.
So Thornton and, I mean, Rice is their big bodied guy, but Sky Moore's done. That's a second round pick for the Chiefs. And instead, it's a former New England second round pick. Tyquan Thornton, he has made the 53 with Kansas City.
Okay. They do have a lot of receivers like that.
Yeah.
A lot of receivers like that.
I saw Worthy talking about it there in Kansas City. Mahomes talking about it as well. They want their big play passing attack back. And one of the things league-wide, Joe, has been the league kind of sitting down, squatting down on no more big plays for the Allens and the Jacksons and the Mahomes. You're not going to throw it over top of us. We're not going to let you do that anymore. And they all had to kind of evolve. And Kansas City is kind of leaning into,
yeah,
we want it back.
The player was not Tyquan Thornton.
Who was it?
Sorry to inform you. It was Ty Montgomery.
Ty Montgomery.
Yeah, I'll find the clip.
That's right.
It is.
All right, not Tyquan Thornton.
Gold.
Either way, Tyquan Thornton was a failure in New England. It was like a story about how that did not work out.
And it was a story about, like, it really was the last example of Belichick cannot draft wide receivers.
Right.
Just has no capability of doing it.
You're right. It was Ty Montgomery.
It's like the best. It might be my favorite sports radio call of all time. He's so mad about Ty Montgomery signing with the Patriots.
Well, I mean, that's when you're going through it. That is one thing we are potentially losing here, is that with Vrabel and respectability, we can no longer just relish in them freaking out. Like the Dolphins. It's fun to watch the Dolphins flounder.
That's happening a lot right now.
Do the Dolphins get that call? It feels like they might. But there's something special about a New England fan who's just won for the last 20 years mad. That fueled my soul.
Well, because I think the difference, and this is a lot in reputation, but I bet it also is in practice, that when the Patriots are bad, New England yells about it. Like Boston, they stew in it, and they're angry, and they will sweat. Like, just they lose their minds. Miami, I feel like the reputation is they'll just check out, right? Fans, the stands will be empty. They'll go on to other things. They'll go on to the Heat and Miami football. Like the University of Miami football. That to me is more the reputation of Miami. And maybe I'm just doing that because they'll go to the beach, right? And it's the climates and it's whatever. But no, I don't know that you'll get that call about Miami. You will definitely get that from Boston. And you'll get it from New York, right? Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, this year I think the Dolphins are the team that is ripe for that. I've wondered, I heard Mike make this point in the afternoon show yesterday. Like, I almost wonder if it's too much. Like, too many people think the Dolphins are going to be terrible. That, is it right to start swinging the other way? Like, okay, like, are they going to win three games? Because that's kind of how it sounds. No, it sounds like people think they're going to win 3, 4, 5 games. And maybe, are they going to win 8 or 9 again for, like, the fifth year in a row?
Well, as part of, I heard Mike talking about this yesterday, too. And one of the things in there was the exact AFC finishing order, AFC East, which you can bet the exact finishing order, first, second, third, and fourth.
Okay, right? Like,
you know, the odds the Bills finish first are strong. And they have every single Bills. There's only one scenario where, and this is maybe interesting to you, one scenario where it's out of order. So how many different ways could the Bills win the division? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 5 straight most likely finishing orders are the Bills in first. And then there's one more in there that comes New England and then the Bills. So basically, the sixth most likely, according to the odds, is New England, mm-hmm, Buffalo, Miami, the Jets. And the one Bills one that comes in below that is the Jets in second.
Woo!
Yeah. And Miami third. What I'm getting at there is, like, Miami in fourth is, it'd be tough to imagine them being worse than the Jets. I saw something from Aaron Glenn, where this is one of those, does a coach have to say this when he's building a culture? Does a coach have to say this when he's talking about Justin Fields as his quarterback? Aaron Glenn basically poo-pooed the idea of passing being important. Look at the teams that pass the ball versus teams that run the ball. And 300-yard passers don't win a lot. You know, the whole understanding game script.
Yeah.
And is your head coach really that clueless about how important it is to pass? Or is he saying that because that's the message he has to deliver in a first year when you're establishing, you know, you're the Jets. Yeah. You're trying to change everything around.
And you also don't have
a passer.
No, you have a, you have an offense that looks like it's ready to run the ball a ton. And I mean, they have Garrett Wilson, but
after that, it's
name
nothing.
Me another player they're going to throw the football to this year.
Oh, after Garrett Wilson, they have nothing.
From a quarterback who, by the way, like, you know, he starts 15 games for the Bears in 2022. How many yards? 2,200.
Yeah, it's horrific.
Like, it's not a quarterback you're going to expect a high volume from in the first place. So, I can't decide what I think of what's going on there. I feel like he is trying to do parts of what Dan Campbell did, right? Like, he's trying to turn around, you know, respectability there, and, like, he thinks it was a mess in New York, which it was.
It was.
It was a mess. And he's trying to turn that around, but when he's referencing the Eagles winning the Super Bowl and, like, he's stopping a reporter mid-question about how it's a quarterback-driven league, like, all right, you got to know that it is a quarterback-driven league to some degree, right, dude? Like, for him to stop a reporter mid-question and make a correction of, oh, the Eagles win the Super Bowl by running it.
Right. They're
when everyone quickly pointed out, like, the Eagles were sixth in, like, all the passing metrics.
Right.
Like, they were number one, but they were sixth. Like, don't make it sound like they had a bottom five passer in the league and won because they were ground and pound. Like, they also had an amazing pass offense, which, by the way, is what won them the Super Bowl at the end. The run game helped, and Kansas City, you know, buckled in to stop Barkley, but they've dared Hurts to make the passes, and the quarterback made the passes. So he kind of sounded like he hadn't watched the Super Bowl.
Right. 803-0550. Steve in Albany. Hey, Steve, good morning.
Guys, how are you this morning?
Excellent.
Hey, so I just finished this morning watching Hard Knocks, you know, before heading to work here. And I don't know if you guys talked about this morning or not. I'm kind of catching up with your show. But I found it very, very interesting that Trey White was completely, and I feel like purposely, omitted from this week's episode. And I think it's actually a positive, and here's why. I think this regime, since McDermott and Bean came on board, and particularly McDermott, they are very coy when it comes to injuries. They have a tendency to just kind of shy away from it. It's kind of Belichickian in a way that they feel like it's almost an advantage to not say anything and almost sound as though, like, somebody is not going to play. Like, I remember they did it with Josh in the past with, like, his hand, and it was very, like, murky what was going on with him. And several other players in the past. And I just think it's encouraging that you're not hearing much. I think it's encouraging Trey White's on the 53 and not on the IR. Like, everything points to this isn't as serious as originally thought. And I think another feather to the cap was Hard Knocks just completely omitting the whole Trey White situation. I didn't know if you guys felt the same way.
Well, the only thing from Trey White in the Hard Knocks episode, I don't know. I mean, Hard Knocks isn't, you know, choosing to air storylines about whether a player is hurt based on, I don't know, I don't necessarily buy that. The thing in the episode was about how Trey White is an example for Max Hairston. They're in the defensive backs meetings room, and Hairston's talking about with the defensive backs coach, like, what did Trey, tell me what you said about Trey. And he said, you know, he's a 10-year vet or whatever, and he's still upset after a bad rep because that's the level of professionalism that he brings, basically, like, to paraphrase. Hairston said, I took away that he has a bad rep in camp, and here's a guy that's done a lot in this league, and he's thinking about it. Like, that's how dialed in you've got to be. On the whole idea that the Bills are coy with injuries, I think it's kind of standard what they do. I could be wrong about that, but the league, and especially with the getting in bed with gambling, there are rules. You've got to follow the rules. If a guy gets treatment, it gets reported that this player is on the injury report for getting treatment.
Right.
So I don't know how much you can finagle that, how much you can say questionable versus, I mean, they removed probable from the injury designations the league did a couple years ago.
Yeah.
So you're only questionable or you have no designation. But if you get treatment, you're on the injury report. I feel like that's something we learned from Sal over the years, right? Hey, look at this lengthy list. All right, no injury designation. That means the guy's getting treatment for something, but he doesn't have a designation. So I don't know how much you can be coy. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just not sure what the Bills can do with it without getting in trouble.
Which can happen, too. The Niners got investigated last year when they didn't tell anybody that Christian McCaffrey was injured, and then it was like the morning of the game, like, oh, he might not play tonight. And then he didn't play for...
a month? 2 months?
Yeah, 2 months. And he went to Germany to get, like, treatment or whatever. That would be an example of other teams are doing it. I mean, San Francisco, I don't think they got found of any wrongdoing, but they got investigated. And I don't remember the Bills ever being investigated for something. I don't think it would shock me, though, that like if they had planned on something Trey White involved in Hard Knocks, that the Bills would have said, hey, maybe leave him out of this episode because we're within 2 weeks of the Ravens game and we don't want them having any indication of whether he's playing or not.
Maybe.
I don't think that's impossible.
I don't think it's impossible, but...
They do it in every other facet. Why wouldn't they do it with Hard Knocks?
Sure. What would Hard Knocks have showed? That he got hurt?
Would they want to, like... you know, get in the treatment room and like show like what that's like. And the Bills like, no, you're not doing that.
I mean, are they doing that with Tylon Grable? Are they doing that with...
No, but they might do it with White because he's a player that they've already featured and that some would know on the team.
Maybe. I mean, Deion Dawkins...
I'm just saying, if they wanted to do it as a show, I think the Bills would tell them no.
Dawkins got featured and they didn't go in on his back flare-up.
No.
I mean, it's anything is possible, I suppose. I don't want to rule that out, but... I don't know. I just don't know how interesting Trey White's thing is. And again, what has Hard Knocks been? We talked about it to open the show today. I feel like without having full knowledge of every single season of Hard Knocks, the way that this season runs looks like it's a redemption tour for Hard Knocks where, hey, if you let us in, we'll make your team look cool and adorable.
Yeah.
You'll love every player. You'll want Jimmy Charlo to make the team and KJ Hamler to make the team. And when guys get cut, it's a commercial for the NFL, which is why, you know, some of the shouty show people are mad. They want endless controversy. And the reality is, Hard Knocks, for what it's worth right now, is doing the NFL a favor by making a lot of these players look human, look in the human side of it, which a lot of these players, you know, are good people. So, I don't know. Thanks for the phone call, Steve. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Rivalries uniforms tomorrow. Let's have a leak.
Yeah, we haven't had a single leak about anybody anywhere.
I don't even have to be the Bills. Give me a leak. Do you guys want to draft which organization is going to leak it?
Ooh. Who's the most leakable franchise?
AFC East. Hey, Mike Vrabel's out there talking.
NFC West.
Mike Vrabel's openly talking about finding the rats that are giving the information away. So
New England, they could have done that.
New England's the number one pick. Seattle. It's the NFC West and the AFC East.
Yeah.
Which team's going to leak it? Rams? Cardinals?
The Cardinals seem like a leaky franchise. Yeah.
Somebody's got
Arizona. That's my guess.
All right, you're taking Arizona.
I'm going to take Arizona to leak something.
Yeah. Not the Niners? We need a leak. Is there anything on Reddit? Come on. Reddit's what this stuff is for.
This is what Reddit
is for,
leak. Right? Yeah.
I want a rivalries uniform. I don't want
someone
to wait
get TMZ on the case.
I don't want to wait till tomorrow. I want to leak
although
now.
They're busy with the Kelce Swift thing, I think.
That's big news.
Yeah. Now we can retire.
Sure.
Everyone's takeaway immediately. I saw on Twitter. Like, oh, that means he's going to retire soon.
Listen, if you want the, I feel like the line is, oh well, good. At least he'll get a ring this year. Because he's not going to get the other one.
But you can't. It's hard to make that joke.
Let's make
about
the joke.
Guy who's won three.
Let's make the joke. I do think he's going to have a big year in fantasy. I think he's going to be back.
Do you?
I do. I think he's going to be back.
Wow, I am opposite of you
okay.
on that.
All right. I think he's going to be back.
How much do you think they're throwing him the football?
Plenty when they have their speedsters run by everybody because they're committed to opening the field up.
He had 133 targets last year. I bet that goes down by 50.
I think he's going to have a good year. On that, the only other, to me, there's only one negative about that giant announcement. uh-huh. and it's not an actual negative, it's a kind of a fake one. It's that now the people that relentlessly think the entire league is fixed for the Chiefs have a new they have a new angle.
There was like a few months early on where people were wondering like their relationship was fake as like a way to draw in viewers for the National Football League.
And now it's real to draw in viewers.
Insane in the first
and now
place.
They'll fix the whole thing. They're going to fix the league. Like, great. The fix is in, folks. Have a new angle. Let me tell you. It's terrible for all of us. Kyle Brandt has tweeted he's on his way here to Buffalo to see a tall friend. So he's going to meet with Tage Thompson, I believe. No?
Greg Rousseau?
Right. Josh, is he going to get info on the tall Buffaloes? Maybe.
Who? How many people could qualify as that?
The tall person in Buffalo?
Could be Spencer Brown.
That's right.
He actually might be the tallest on the team. I think he's taller than Rousseau. He's probably talking about Josh, right?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Shouldn't every major city or NFL market have a tallest person in town? We should all just know who that is.
Who the tallest person in Buffalo is?
We should just know that.
Do you think Spencer Brown might be the tallest person in Buffalo?
No.
No? You think there's somebody taller? Isn't he 6'9"?
Yes, there's somebody 6'10".
You think there's a 6'10"?
There's a
7-footer in Buffalo?
Does that mean does UB have a 7-footer on the team?
I saw a stat once that like 28% of 7-footers in the United States play in the NBA.
Okay.
Which makes me think that there isn't a 7-foot person in Buffalo.
Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast, when we return here on WGR.